This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
On this Saturday morning, time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. And by DC Waste and Recycling. Terry Tote is on assignment this week, so in the lovely Studio A, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And we have a very exciting show lined up for you today. Coming up later on in the hour, we're going to talk to Darren Deneve. Of course, he's the athletic director at Carlinville High School, but he's also involved in the WYSE team at Carlinville. That's the Worldwide Youth Science and Engineering Competition, and they just won the state championship a few days ago. So we're going to talk to Darren about that awesome academic accomplishment coming up here later on Sports Saturday. We're going to start today, though, talking about alumni football. That's right. You heard me right. An alumni football game is being organized. It's going to have Hillsboro taking on Greenville. Bill Kinney, good enough to join us in studio this morning. And Mr. Kinney, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm pretty excited to be here. This is an opportunity for all of us alumni players. As a Hillsboro Athletic alumni, we don't always get a chance to walk out on the football field or even the basketball court or wrestling mat or track field. Now we have an opportunity to put that uniform back on, go out and play one last game. You know, a lot of us play in our heads over and over. You know, something will kick on the radio and you'll be thinking back to the good old days, back when we used to play.
And you're a lot better now than you were then. Everybody in their own mind.
Yes, yes, in your own mind. You know, I'm an all-star. Until I get out there, then I'm like, whoa, I'm not that kind of person really anymore. So this is a good opportunity to throw on the football pads, put on the helmet, run out there on the field to play that last, you know, one night of hard hitting, one last run, pass, get the opportunity to make that last touchdown for those, you know they can do it. You know, we're offered a chance of a lifetime through Alumni Football USA. It's a fundraiser program for alumni players to give back to the school that allowed them to play. This is how it works. The school sells pre-sale tickets prior to the game day event in exchange for field use. Hosting school gets full concession and raffle rights at the game. Alumni Football USA gives 50% of the pre-sale admission ticket proceeds to the school. Alumni Football USA gives 100% concession and raffle rights to the hosting school in exchange for the field. The school pays no money at all. Alumni Football provides all equipment, liability field insurance, officials, security, game day personnel, emergency personnel, and they have over 25 years of experience. So who are we looking for? Any able-bodied alumni football player. This means anyone that has played football, even for just one season. You know, we want them to sign up. We need you. Your school needs you. And frankly, most of us need this. You know, we're out there. I could come up with 100 different reasons not to sign up and not to play, but I can't find any good reason not to get in shape. This is a perfect opportunity to motivate others to get back in shape.
And in case people aren't clear, this is a tackle.
Yes.
Game.
Yes, it is.
Full pads.
Full pads.
Tackle.
Yes. Yes. And we were playing Greenville. So it's pretty exciting. I'm getting more excited. I just started a Facebook page. It's Hillsboro Alumni Football. You can look it up on the search bar there on Facebook at Hillsboro Alumni Football. We just started up. I have a link for the Alumni Football USA, and it has videos. You can sign up on it. You can look, watch videos of other teams. Right now, if you scroll down for like the sign up part, for upcoming events, we're like really at the bottom for pending games. My understanding, Greenville has quite a few players signed up. You know, we're wanting to get more players signed up. We figured this would be the best way for us to get this out there.
And of course, back in the day when everybody played in high school, if you were a two-way player, it was a badge of honor when you're 16, 17. But at 38, 39, I don't want to go both ways.
No. We're hoping to get more players. So, you know, yeah, back when you were a younger guy, you know, you wanted to play the whole game.
Yeah.
Now it's, hey, I want to play a few downs, you know, something just so I can get back there, out there, and be part of the community and be part of the school again.
We're talking with Bill Kinney as he is putting together an alumni tackle football game to pit Hillsboro against Greenville. And to me, these are the two perfect teams. Again, we know Hillsboro-Litchfield has the historic Route 16 rivalry, but as far as football goes, Hillsboro and Greenville have really established a nice rivalry over the last 10, 15, maybe even 20 years. Certainly since Duffy left Greenville and came back home to Hillsboro, there's a lot of intensity when these two teams meet on Friday nights in the fall. So I would imagine as an alumni game goes, there will be some intensity out there.
Yes, I believe there will be a lot of intensity, and I think it would be a great game. I think we can pull in a great crowd and get back to the community, back to the school, to get the sports associate, their groups, the money to get replace equipment and other stuff that they need.
Everybody's always looking for different ways to raise money this day and age, because with school funding like it is, a lot of the sports now don't get the money that they used to get. So it is up to these outside organizations to raise the money. And football has so much overhead cost that is involved,
yes,
the variety of different things that go into it. So any dollars that can be raised obviously will benefit. I guess, how did you get this idea? You mentioned Alumni Football USA. Did you just kind of come across that? Talk a little bit about it.
This isn't my idea. This is former alumni Corey McFarland and John Sikorsky. They're the ones who are spearheading this. I was more or less kind of like voluntold to jump on the spokesperson wagon. I like to promote stuff like this. This is kind of my area. I love doing stuff like this. So this gives me the opportunity to really help them out, because they have busy schedules. We all have busy schedules. You know, this here isn't for us to get people out there to get injured or anything. You know, this is just for us to relive a moment in time, to get ourselves away from our hectic lives, to go out there, back on the field, back when you were a kid and you really didn't have much worries. I mean, I'm sure there was guys that did, but, you know, most of us didn't have any worries back then.
Different types of problems when you're in high school.
Yes, yes. You know, you just had to make sure that you didn't lose your math homework or even did it. You know, this here, now you have an opportunity to get away from the hectic life, show your kids, show your family, show others in the community, hey, you know, we still support you.
And that might be one of the neatest aspects, is for a parent to be have the experience of having their kid watch them play football instead of the other way around.
Yes, yes. There's players out there that have kids that have already grown up and graduated, and now they have their kids. You know, there's going to be a multiple generation of players that could be out there even playing, or and then future generations watching this alumni football game, like, hey, I want to do this when I get older.
I can just hear Dad saying, you didn't know your old man could move like that, did you? You just didn't know.
And we're hoping that this will spread to other communities. You know, we'll see. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, Nokomis get an alumni game put together. I'd like to see Litchfield, you know, the other county communities around each other that, you know, we've played over the years. You know, Hillsboro never played, you know, Nokomis. You know,
right.
We've talked about this earlier. That it would be great if someday they were able to put a piece of alumni game together and just have a good time. You know, see how it turns out.
If anybody wants to sign up and get involved on the Hillsboro side of things, how do they get signed up?
Okay. There's the Alumni Football USA page. If you want to get on Facebook, this would be the route to like the Hillsboro Alumni Football page. There's a link on that page. I'm going to try to send you guys a link to the page, so that anybody wants to get on WSMI to see what this is all about. This is, you know, maybe they'll want to sign up. You know, even if they don't want to sign up, but they still want to help support us, you know, we are taking any support we could possibly get to help out. So we're still in the planning stages. I mean, we're a pending game, so we're not even sure what day our game's going to be yet. We have a meeting April 29th at 2:30 p.m. Hillsboro High School at the field. This is a sign up. it does cost $100 per player just to sign up. I was looking for the paperwork this morning. I thought I read in there that it is refundable. If something comes up in your life, 2 months down the road, hey, I can't play,
pull the hammy getting out of bed.
Yeah. which
I'm done.
Some of us have. Yeah.
So basically, if anybody's interested in signing up, get on the Facebook page, Alumni Football USA,
yes.
And from there they'll be able to navigate, find the appropriate links,
yes.
And get what they
yes.
need to get.
And like I said, I'm going to give you guys the information so you guys have it on your website so we can try to promote as much as possible.
We'll have our IT person, David, get that link established.
Excellent.
IT's going a little bit far.
Oh, it is? Oh. I was trying to give you credit, David.
No.
Take it.
I can do it. But
well, there we go.
I am not an IT person.
That's all that matters. As long as it gets done.
You're being modest.
No.
He is being modest.
Believe me, I am not. Your computer shuts down. I am of no help.
Bill, can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Yes.
We need to take a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back and talk more about the Hillsboro-Greenville alumni football game following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106.1, and we rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize and our special guest, Bill Kinney.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. And Bill is in studio. We're talking about the Hillsboro-Greenville alumni football game. A date has not been set yet, but wheels are in motion. Things are happening, as they would say. And it sounds from what you said, Bill, that the response on the Greenville side is going pretty well in terms of their numbers. The Hillsboro side
yes.
also going well, but you are still hopeful that you can get some more Hillsboro alumni interested and signed up here.
Yes, we're trying to get as many players as possible, because like I said earlier, a lot of us are older. We're not going to want to play a whole game. So we're not only looking for alumni football players, but we'd like to see like alumni cheerleaders, alumni marching band.
Boy, that
support.
Would add something to the event.
It would just like we talked earlier, like a retro,
yeah.
Football actual game, just to have all those alumni out there to really support each other and support the school. So that's about where we're at right now.
And this is a fundraiser for Hillsboro. Hillsboro and Greenville will split the monies 50-50.
Yes, that's what I was told by the guys that are putting this on, that it's going to be split between the two schools.
And to the best of our understanding right now, this is money that will be used for all sports at Hillsboro. It won't be just for the football team. So if you're thinking, I used to play football, but I don't have a kid who plays football. I got a daughter who plays softball. Well, your participation in this game can still benefit.
Yeah, and that is my understanding, that it's going to go through the athletic portion of the school to help them all out. So.
The whole concept, when David first told me about this, I thought, I said, is it going to be tackle? He said, I think so. And the fact that it is tackle football is so intriguing to me, because we've talked about this off the air. When you play basketball, when you get out of school, you can go play a pickup game, and it's basically, you can get a 5-on-5 experience. It's basically
yes.
the same. Baseball's a little harder, but it can happen. But once you're out of high school, unless you're one of the very few kids who moves on to play in college, football, as you knew it your whole life, is finished for you. 11-on-11, full pad tackle just isn't an option once
yeah.
you're out of high school. So if you've just kind of got that itch thinking, man, I want to get out there and just hit someone, this is your chance.
Yes, that's what we talked about. This is the opportunity to get out there and legally hit somebody. This is a great chance for those who used to play, loved playing, but after high school, they were done. They haven't put a helmet on. They haven't put pads on. They probably don't even remember how to do all that. But this is a good opportunity to relive that, just to get out there and really hit somebody.
And my pressing question, I have two of them in my mind. Is Stewie going to be involved coaching, and can you get Duffy to play? Can you get Duffy to play? That's what I want to know.
Well, the thing is, now since we're broadcasting,
right.
Now they're going to hear this, and they're going to be asked those questions. And I hope so. They have involvement. I believe they will. Like I said, we're still in this really early planning stages. Still a lot of questions that we don't know the answers to, but we will get them, and we are going to get them out to everybody that is really interested in playing.
What a neat organization this Alumni Football USA is. I had never heard of this group, but this is a national organization that organizes these games around the entire country
yes.
on a regular basis. So, this is something the kinks, so to speak, are worked out on their end. So when they say they're going to provide certain things, they're going to provide it.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, like, and once you get on their website and you can watch some of those videos, and you'll watch videos of players talking about, you know, I watched some of those videos of other players giving their little testimony. It's like, wow, that's me. You know, that's me. You know, and a lot of other guys, too, is like, hey, that's me. I just want to get out there one last chance.
And we know that Hillsborough and Greenville both have very good football traditions. And you think about the Comet run that they had, you know, for about a 10-year period. If those kids play, oh, boy.
I think it would be a really fun, interesting game.
It would be.
I think it will be.
And I'll be interested to see what type of mix you get in terms of guys who maybe graduated in the last 5 years opposed to maybe guys who have been out of school for 10, 15
generational
years.
Mix.
Generational mix. It'll be really cool if you get that mix on the field.
Yes. I'm sure there's going to be some clashing, but, yeah. You know, I think it would be a great mix, you know, because there's a lot to learn from the younger guys and even from the older guys. You know, there's a lot there for everybody to have the opportunity to learn.
I also wonder about the rules because, you know, different generations played under different, you know, rules. So maybe there'll be, I assume there'll be one cohesive set of rules.
Well, but yeah, I would think it would be the modern day.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
And we
no leather helmets.
Yeah, there's no leather helmets. No matter how bad you want to play in there's no leather helmets.
Bill Kenny joining us in studio to talk about the Hillsborough-Greenville alumni football game. No date has been set yet. Most likely will be sometime in the fall, probably.
Yes, yes. That's the tentatively be sometime, most likely in September. That's where we kind of had it before when we were trying to get to play against Litchfield. So we're still hoping maybe it'll be sometime in September.
Okay. So anybody interested in playing, whether it's on the Hillsborough or Greenville side, if you go to that Facebook page,
yes,
that will basically get you to the link that you need to do, and then we'll eventually, probably by Monday, we'll have the link up at WSMIRadio.com.
That'd be great.
Cool. Bill, anything else that we haven't talked about that you would like to get out there?
I think that's about it. I think we covered as much as possible that I can think of. Thank you.
Good deal.
Are you still by chance taking like volunteers for maybe like concessions or whatnot, people who want to help at the actual game but can't play? Or
yeah, I think that's what our goal is. Like, we'll be selling raffles.
Okay.
So we'll need volunteers for that, you know, because I know there's guys that cannot play, absolutely cannot play anymore, but they want to be involved. So this would be an opportunity. Hey, they can still be involved and, you know, be out there in their nice old leather jackets and, you know, Letterman jackets, you know. And
squeeze into that Letterman jacket.
Yes.
Real nice. Yeah. Bill Kenny, thank you so much for coming into studio. We're going to do as much as we can to help you get the word out about this. And if the game, when it happens, we have every intention of broadcasting.
Yes, I'm hoping so. And thank you for letting me come on here and speak about this.
Absolutely. Bill Kenny, thank you so much. The Hillsborough-Greenville alumni football game. Again, if you are interested, head to Facebook and find the Alumni Football USA Facebook page. We'll take a break. Back in a moment.
Cardinals baseball will be on the radio stations for you on the Tally Broadcasting stations today. It'll as the Cardinals host the Cincinnati Redlegs, 12:20 as our broadcast beginning time at WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Yes, they are the Cincinnati Reds now. So
I like the Redlegs, though.
Yeah.
And it turns out Brian Price wasn't the problem.
No?
They fired Jim Riggleman. He's a bum. He's 0-1.
He wasn't
Get him
the
out.
Problem?
He's Jim Riggleman, clearly the problem in Cincinnati. Get him out.
Just have a line for, you know, whoever wants to manage the team. And just
poor Jim Riggleman. Like, you always hear, like, he started in the Cardinals organization, and you always hear about how great of a baseball man Jim Riggleman is. And I don't doubt that he is. But I saw the other day, this is the fourth time he's taken over a team in the middle of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, he took over the Cubs at one point.
Yeah. So for a great baseball man, he sure gets stuck in a lot of junk situations.
Well, he was the manager for the Nationals for a few years.
He was.
And he got fired right
he got
before they
in
got
that
good.
Situation. You're right about that. Yeah, he built it up.
Yep.
Kind of like Mark Jackson with the Warriors.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for building this up. Now get out.
Right before Strasburg and Harper
made
their debuts, he got pushed aside. Well, I'm sorry, Jim. We need somebody else.
That's right. We're going to go a different direction.
We appreciate the work you put in. But we're going to go in another direction. Yeah.
Cards, Reds today, 12:20 a.m., 1540, and FM 106.9. Now, last night we had high school softball on the radio. Hillsborough beat Gillespie 9-1. David, you had the call of that ball game along with Carl DeBar, and you see the final 9-1. Oh, boy, but deceiving in that final score.
Yeah, one inning, essentially. I mean, it was scoreless for a couple of innings, and the third inning happened, a solo home run for Hillsborough. They took a 1-0 lead. They scored another run in the next inning and another run in the inning after that. So it was 3-0 in a very well-pitched, very close game after five. And then the top of the sixth happened, started actually with an error. The pitcher for Hillsborough, Kai Hanner, was batting. She reached on an error. And from there...
Many innings have started just like that.
It just spiraled out of control. Hillsborough plated six runs in that inning to make it 9-0. Gillespie got one in the... No, they didn't get one in the sixth, but they got one in the seventh to make the final 9-1. But the game... I mean, essentially, a 3-0 lead seemed insurmountable at that point anyway. The way Kai Hanner was pitching for the Toppers, she was lights out and...
Just five hits and one run over her seven innings of work, struck out nine.
Yeah, she looked good, and she was doing a great job of mixing up speeds. And she wasn't throwing the off-speed pitch a lot either. See, the first time through the order, she had planned this perfectly, I assume. Either that or Coach Teakin had told her to do it that way. Whatever the case, she had thrown primarily fastball the first time through the order. And then the second time through the order, she started to mix in that off-speed pitch a lot more, and the hitters did not see it coming. And it really worked to her advantage.
That's just pitching right there. Yeah. Like, whether it's softball or baseball, once you get through that lineup the first time, you better have a different plan of attack when you see them that second and third time. Otherwise, the hitters are most likely going to make some adjustments. That's a really good win for Hillsborough. When you figure the day before Gillespie beat SHG, and then they have Edwardsville coming up, I believe, today on the schedule. And in between, they ran into Kai Hanner and didn't have much of an answer for her yesterday. Taylorville beat Lincolnwood 8-7 yesterday as the Lancers fell by one run. They picked up 13 hits on the day. The problem, though, Taylorville had 14 base hits. And then Nokomis had a rough day yesterday.
They played a game yesterday.
They committed 10 errors. They allowed 24 runs, just 9 of them earned with those 10 errors. Effingham got 23 hits. Nokomis held to just 2 hits. So
they still got 23 hits, even after 10 errors.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
That's a long day at the office.
Yeah.
That's a long day.
That's a long 5-inning game.
Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy. Carthenville doubled up Staunton 4-2. Elisa Despain, the complete game there. She allowed just 2 runs, 8 hits. And struck out 8. Southwestern shut out Pena 16-0. And Roxana beat Greenville 15-0. In baseball yesterday, Vandalia walked off against Litchfield as they scored a run in the bottom of the 7th to beat Litchfield 9-8. Hillsborough beat Gillespie 9-4 yesterday. Griffin King 3 out of 5 for the Toppers. Alton Marquette doubled up Nokomis 4-2. Southwestern beat Pena 10-0 in 5. Greenville, behind Brock Nelson's complete game shutout, beats Roxana 10-0. And Jersey beat Carrollton by the final of 13-3. The Pleasant Plains Invitational was held yesterday. Plains beat Morrisonville 11-3. Route Catholic beat Southeast 8-2. Chatham-Glenwood shut out Auburn 10-0. Morrisonville over Chicago Lincoln Park 4-2. Metamora beat Glenwood 2-1. And Plains beat Lincoln Park by the final of 12-2. The Plains Invitational gets back underway this morning. They've got games in Plains. I think they still got games in Chatham today as well. In girls soccer yesterday, a couple of matches went to a scoreless draw. Carthenville and Jersey, along with Southwestern and Auburn, both played to a scoreless tie. CM beat Staunton 6-2. Roxana shut out Wood River 8-0. And Freeburg beat Greenville by the final of 7-0. And a tennis result for you saw the Comets beat Hillsborough 8-1. We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will come back with Darren Deneve and talk about his WSE State Championship when Sports Saturday returns following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. We're back here on WSMI Sports Saturday and very happy to be joined on the phone right now by Darren Deneve. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. And obviously, you have been involved in coaching athletics for a long, long time. But I would venture to guess that the feeling you had the other day when you won the state championship for the Worldwide Youth Science and Engineering Competition was something you really probably haven't experienced before in your years of coaching.
No, it was pretty cool. I'm very happy for the kids. You know, I have a son on the team, and so that was kind of a special moment as well. And so just a great bunch of kids and happy to see them have some success.
And, Darren, for people who maybe aren't familiar with the WYSE, just talk a little bit about what this is. This is for the smart kids.
Well, as you say, it's an academic competition. We usually just call it WYSE, W-Y-S-E.
And, see, I'm not even smart enough to pronounce it right, Darren.
And they take, there's 14 kids on a varsity squad. There's seven subject areas. There's biology, chemistry, physics, math, English, computer science, and engineering graphics, they call it. And each kid specializes in two of those subjects and prepares to take exams in those subjects. And then, you know, the school with the most right answers essentially wins. It's not crazy glamorous. You're in there, you're taking a test, but by the same token, it shows a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work, and some talent for sure.
What is how does this, I guess, compare to, like, say, Scholastic Bowl?
Well, I mean, Scholastic Bowl is certainly a lot of hard work, and it's academically oriented. More of a game show format in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, they're you're up at a table in Scholastic Bowl and they're asking questions, and the fastest team or fastest member of the team that has the right answer, you know, gets those points. Whereas this is a written test, 40 minutes for each subject matter, and there's certainly a speed factor. These questions are difficult, and you only have 40 minutes to get them done. But it's not like every question, you know, you're competing against a person sitting next to you or anything like that.
And I know you had, obviously you won the whole thing, we'll talk about that, but you had some individuals that also showed very well as individuals.
Sure, we had two individual state champions. Grayson Armour is a senior at Carlinville. In fact, Grayson just was named to the IHSA All-Academic Team, which is quite an honor, and they had that banquet this past Monday. But Grayson, Grayson won the biology contest, and then Andrew Deneve was finished first in the computer science. Tyler Beam, a junior at Carlinville as well, finished second in computer science, and then also fourth in the engineering graphics competition. And then in math, Andrew Deneve finished fourth, and Robert Wiggins, senior, finished fifth. So had some kids there get some individual medals, and of course that helps our team score.
Absolutely. Darren, if you can think off the top of your head the other kids on your team, just get their names out there because they are state champions.
Absolutely. The 14 kids that we took were Carly Ambule, Grayson Armour, mentioned Tyler Beam, Andrew Deneve, Seth Evans is a senior, Aiden Fleischer, a junior, Cora Gray, a junior, Natalie Kaganich, a senior, Paul Kibe, as a senior, Maggie Ratcliffe, a senior, Logan Rosentrader, was a junior on our team, Rachel Struby, a senior, and then seniors Robert Wiggins and Taylor Wills were the 14 that made it, and all of them contributed. It's a team deal. You need them all, and so we were pretty blessed to have all of them on our squad.
It's maybe like track and field in a sense of you can have great individuals, but if you don't have the whole team, you're not going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty good comparison. You definitely need some good individual performances, but you need to have some balance there. There's no doubt about it. The way it's scored, as I mentioned, if there are seven subjects, you have to score well in English and chemistry and math. And then of the remaining four subjects, they take your top two. And so you got to be pretty balanced across the board.
Darren, I'm as guilty of it as just about anybody else. But, you know, we get so caught up in on-field athletics, the traditional football, basketball, baseball, all these different things. But when you get talking about this WYSE competition or the Scholastic Bowl, these are things that will literally benefit these kids forever.
Yeah, there's a, you know, like, well, you just had that gentleman on your show about the alumni football game, and that's awesome. They're going to have a lot of fun with that. But like you say, usually once you're done playing football in high school, you're done playing football. Whereas these skills will surely benefit these kids for a lifetime. And I'm very proud of them. And, you know, they've got some bright futures. We've got, I don't know, several future engineers on that Wise team. You know, they're going to some great schools. I mentioned Grayson Armour. Heck, he's visiting Stanford next weekend because he's intending to go to Stanford University. And so, I mean, and he's not the only one that's going to a terrific school and getting a great degree. And so these kids got some really bright futures, and it just so happens that we've got a lot of them in these two classes this year. So it's very fortunate for us.
So what you're telling me, Darren, is of those 14 kids on the team, you can probably count the number of grades that weren't A's for all of them on one hand.
I think that's probably right. I have all of them in my classes at Carlinville, and yeah, there's not too many wrong answers in room 261 there at Carlinville High School between those 14 kids. It's a blessing to be able to teach them. They're great kids. They work hard. They get a lot of right answers, and they keep me on my toes. That's for sure.
Someone's got to.
It's hard to keep them challenged, and for that matter, at some point, their questions are getting a little bit tough for me to answer. So I gotta study up a little.
The students have surpassed the master.
Well, in some cases, that's true. They ask me a lot of great questions. Part of me being the coach of this group or an assistant coach of this group, it's not like being an assistant coach of the 92 Olympic Dream Team. I don't really think that guy really had much to do with any of that success. And so, you know, it's just an honor to work with them.
And Darren, I've seen, like, if you go into the big house on West Main, you'll see some of those Wise banners hanging there with the other accomplishments. So I'd imagine there's going to be a pretty big banner hanging.
Yeah, I would hope so. I think, you know, we haven't gotten that far yet, but I'm sure Mr. Drew will get us a banner in the gym. It's our second state championship for Wise. I can't remember the year of the other one. It was before my time. But we've certainly had some success in this competition and some other academic competitions. And one thing Carlinville does is they place these kinds of successes, you know, on a pretty high level and prominently displayed. And we're proud of our academic background. And, you know, it's a neat thing for the kids and for the community.
It's what it's all about, and really the academic achievements like that should be held in the same regard as going to state in a football game or winning a regional championship in basketball or baseball. It should be held in that same regard. Now, Darren, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is not an official IHSA event, is it?
No, not this one. This one is sponsored actually by the University of Illinois, and so... You're right. No, it's not an IHSA deal. Scholastic Bowl is an IHSA deal. We're also involved in some other things, like math team. We've talked about that before, and that's through the Illinois Council of Teachers of Mathematics. But, you know, no, it's still, there's a lot of schools involved. And one thing, just as an interesting side note, one thing I like about this WISE deal is they separate the team scores into boundary to non-boundary schools. And so what it basically means is that there's a public school division. And so we're competing against schools, you know, that are a lot alike. And I feel like it just seems pretty fair.
Well, yeah, it's not part of the IHSA logic there, so I guess that does make sense.
So,
I like
it's
that.
Kind of a neat
boundary thing. Versus non-boundary. So there's been a precedent set.
Well, I suppose. And then, you know, the individual ones, they put them all together. So, like, if you're going to win an individual medal, you are competing against every student that's in the competition, and I think that's completely fair as well. I mean, it's just one kid versus another kid, and that seems to be a very reasonable thing to do. So,
well, yeah, that's right. Go ahead, Darren. I'm sorry.
I just think it's very fair, and you know, that's really the point I was making.
Yeah. But it really goes back to that track correlation, because it doesn't matter if you're at a small public school or a big private school. If you're fast, you're fast. And here, you're smart, you're smart.
Yep. No, I think that's exactly right. I think it's completely fair. I think the Wise people have it figured out. So.
Awesome. Darren, congratulations on this championship. And who knows, maybe we can get your kids out in studio at some point here in the next couple of weeks.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Tim.
Jared Deneve, thank you very much. He was involved in the Wise State Championship for Carthenville. Congratulations to all the kids from Carthenville on that accomplishment. We need a break. Back with more Sports Saturday in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. As we look at the softball schedule for today, we've got Nokomis hosting Wood River. Gillespie will be at Edwardsville. Hillsboro traveling to Windsor. Bunker Hill will host Southwestern. Greenville will be at Trenton Westland. Carrollton on the road at Staunton. And then the Lincolnwood Invitational is being held today in Raymond. Going on at Beardstown, North Mac will face Beardstown. The Panthers will then take on Griggsville-Perry, and then Griggsville-Perry against Beardstown there in the Beardstown tournament. In baseball today, Southwestern will host New Berlin, and then the Pleasant Plains Invitational has resumed for day number two. And then at Beardstown in baseball action, North Mac will play a pair. They will face Beardstown, and then they will square off against Camp Point Central. On the soccer pitch, you've got North Mac traveling up to Springfield to take on Lutheran. And then underway right now is the Sacred Heart Griffin Cyclone invite. So that is underway right now up in Springfield. We'll have Cardinal baseball for you this afternoon coming up 12:20 today on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9 as the Cardinals are winners of six of their last seven ball games after that four-game sweep in Cincinnati. They spent 4 days in Chicago, played just two games, split those contests, and then came back home last night and beat the Reds by the final of 4-2. And it was really the first game at Busch Stadium this year that didn't have frigid winter temperatures.
How about that?
And the crowd showed it, too. Good crowd last night.
Yeah, and the offense actually, or the team actually won a game.
I tell you what, they've been playing some good baseball here. Really,
I should say they won a game at home. They hadn't played well at home.
Oh, they were 2-4 at home to that point. And as is so often the case, it's not necessarily who you play, but when you play them, and they are catching the Reds at the absolute right time to go in there. That four-game sweep in Cincinnati, that was such a big four-game stretch. And the last couple years, David, when the Cardinals have been struggling, they would have gone in that spot and probably split this series.
Well, they lost the season series to the Reds last year. Remember, the Reds weren't good last year, but they still beat up on the Cardinals. So it's good to see that they're off to a good start against the Reds this year. We'll see if they continue it.
Yeah, I mean, well, time will tell, but the Reds are just brutal
right
now. 3-16. But again, you still have to. They're still major leaguers. They're still cashing checks. You still have to go out and play good baseball. And I think for the most part, for the Cardinals this year, at least for me, what the opponent does or who the opponent is irrelevant. There's a certain standard of baseball that the Cardinals need to play that they have not played the last couple of years. And I think for the most part, they have done that this year. The defense is better. The base running is better. Now, they still have moments where they will just confound you and leave you scratching your head with some of the stuff that they will do. But they do appear to be a little more sound in fundamental areas than they have been in the last couple of years. And to me, that's a direct result of Jose Oquindo.
It is. It is. And I'm watching the Memphis Redbirds, like, watching their scores closely, too, just because they played so well last year. They were like 40 games over 500 this year. They're off to a fantastic start, too. We've talked so much about what's the future of Mike Matheny and John Mabry with this coaching staff. And if Memphis has another good year, Mike Matheny's seat might be getting a little warm.
Well, I don't know about that. He has the confidence of the front office and the owner, which is that's all you need. And if they can continue to play solid baseball, he will be just fine as time moves along. But he's definitely has the fan base on the edge of their seat.
He's got nobody in his corner except the front office and the ownership.
And I'm not a huge fan of the manager. But with that said, everything that goes wrong with the Cardinals is not his fault.
No, this is true.
You know, like, every decision he makes isn't wrong.
Right.
And, you know, just because the Cardinals may blow a game doesn't mean it was the manager's fault.
That's
at some
true.
Point, the players have to go out and perform. And that was the problem the last couple years. Yeah, he would have situations and spots where he didn't do good at his job, But at the end of the day, the players have to play.
Right.
And if the players don't execute, the manager's going to look bad. If the players execute, the manager's
right.
going to look good.
No, that's right. It was right to keep Luke Weaver up and pitch in that game against Chicago. Luke Weaver just didn't.
Had a bad day.
Yeah.
Had a bad day. It happens.
He might just not be very good. It's still way early and too much of a small sample size, but he might just not be very good against the Cubs because he's pitched against them a few times in his career, and they've hit him well.
But, I mean, whenever a young player is riding a good positive wave, at some point they're going to have that game where it just goes the opposite way. And I was actually encouraged from Weaver, got lit up the first two innings, but then came back and was able to put up two zeros in the third and the fourth. And that's usually what I look for from young
yeah.
players is when you get rocked early, what's your response? And he didn't lay down.
I don't know honestly how much he got lit up either. He gave up quite a few runs. They're all singles. And there were ground balls right to where guys would be playing had they not been shifting. I mean, so it wasn't like he was giving up, you know, double after home run after extra base hit.
He gave up six runs through two innings.
Yeah, they're all ground balls that, like, would have been...
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, I know.
Still gave them up.
I'm still giving credit to Luke Weaver. I mean, they weren't, like, hard-hit balls. They were just... They were ground balls.
Yeah. Well,
like, you deploy a different defensive alignment in there. You know, he allows, what, maybe one, two runs.
Yeah, maybe. His control wasn't good.
Right.
His control wasn't good.
Right.
And that, you know, we saw that with Carlos on opening day. If a pitcher doesn't have his control, it's going to be a long afternoon. And since that day, Carlos has been
an ace.
Dominant. Like, unhittable dominant.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the last start he had against Cincinnati, in Cincinnati, he did not have his best stuff necessarily, but it didn't show on the box score. I mean, he walked a few guys. His control was not there at times, but he still pitched like an ace. I mean, he still dominated.
Oh, yes.
And that is what we need out of Carlos Martinez. And even when he is not at his best, he still can pitch lights out.
Well, that's what separates the elite pitchers in the game, to be able to dominate when
yeah.
you don't have your ace stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And, you know, as we look at the Cardinals pitching as a whole, it's been pretty good.
It
you
has.
Know, the starters have been going deep in games, minus Luke Weaver's game there in Wrigley Field. But other than that, basically every Cardinal starter has gotten through certainly five, most likely six innings, most of the ball games. And the bullpen has surprised me. They have been, other than the closer, which has been a little bit unsettled, but who would have thought you would have said this? Thank goodness for Bud Norris.
No, that's right. I don't know how they would do this. It feels like they need to send Holland back down just to get work, because you can't get... The guy needs work is what he needs.
He didn't have spring training.
Right. You can't do that at the major league level. I think they rushed him back too soon. And I don't think it was necessarily their fault, because at the time, Leon had just blown a save, and you weren't really sure what to do with the ninth inning, so we need Holland right away. So they kind of had to rush him up. Well, now things are starting to solidify themselves in the back end of the bullpen, so maybe you can afford to send Holland out on a freak rehab start and rehab appearances and get him some work to actually work back into game shape.
Yeah, because it is hard to get into game shape in the flow of a big league season.
That's right.
Especially when you're put in high leverage situations. I thought it was interesting the other day they talked about how they wanted to, you know, get him in some lower leverage situations to try to get himself right. I thought, man, that sounds like a good idea. Makes a lot of sense. And then I look up, and he's on the mound in the eighth inning of a four-run game at Wrigley Field. And I thought, this is a low-leverage situation.
Well,
walk, homer, walk, and he's out.
It's about as low leverage as you can get sometimes. I mean, the blowout games that they want to get him into, they just don't happen very often.
Right. But I just kind of like, it's 25 degrees,
yeah.
a four-run game against arguably the best team or one of the best teams in the National League. Let's just throw him right back in the fire.
They should have, I mean, it's hindsight's 20/20, but they should have used him in the second game against Wrigley when they were down 8-2. That would have been the best time to do it, because the game was essentially in hand at that moment.
And that's what makes baseball so tricky and so interesting, is how the game within the game. Like, you've got this closer. You know he's an elite-level closer, but he didn't have spring training. So the Greg Holland right now is not the Greg Holland that they signed.
Right.
But how do you get him there? You know, it's just going to take time. But I tell you what, at this point, if Yadi's not the team MVP, it almost has to be Bud Norris, because that dude has come in, he has flat out saved some games in the ninth inning, put out some fires in the eighth inning. I mean, this dude has been phenomenal.
And you were knocking the signing.
I was knocking the signing.
I don't know if you knocked it on the air. You knocked it off the air.
I think I knocked it on the air. I think I made some comment about they were putting together a nice pitching staff if it was 2010.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone. I said it wasn't a great signing. I said it was a good signing had they actually signed a closer. But at the time, they hadn't, so I said it was a bad signing. But turns out, it works. Right now,
he's getting the job done. And it's all about execution. You got to go out, and you got to execute.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what they can do today. You know, again, the Reds are down right now. So this is a golden opportunity for the Cardinals to go out, take care of business at home. And you
maybe
can never
have Greg Holland pitch in this series.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I was encouraged with the Cardinals coming out of Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. Did you see this stat? I was astounded when I saw this. Obviously, the Cubs dominated the Cardinals last year. Owned them.
Mm-hmm.
If you take away the head-to-head matchups between the Cubs and the Cardinals, they had the same record.
How about that?
I couldn't believe it when I saw that. That's staggering.
Yeah.
The same record,
right.
Minus the head-to-head. How did that happen? Doesn't that just, at least to me, when I saw that, it put the Cardinals into a little different perspective of what I thought they had been last year. And then I just got mad. Because then I thought, my goodness, if they could have just ran the bases marginally, they would have been better. If they could have just fielded the ball marginally, they could have been better.
It puts a little bit about in a perspective a little bit about what the Cardinals were last year. It also puts into perspective a little bit what the Cubs were last year. They took a step back and came back to the pack a little bit. And also to that, so many of those Cardinals Cubs games last year were close. Which means the Cubs won the season series, I think, 14-5.
Yeah.
A lot of those games were either won late or were like a one run game.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I think that right there is why so many people in the Cardinals circle were frustrated during the offseason, coming off those last couple of years, because we've talked about it before. They're not bad. Like, even the last year, they were never bad. Mm-hmm. But the expectation has been raised so high for baseball in St. Louis that if they win 85 games, that feels like a disappointing season.
Well, they won 83 last year, so let's not overstate it.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to get crazy, would we?
Yeah. Pecota has them winning 84 this year, so we'll see.
And what does Pecota know?
I think they were dead on last year. I think they had them winning 83 last year.
Huh. What do they know? What do they know? With their fancy computer models and simulations.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Pecota was pretty generous coming into this year. I thought they were maybe more of an 81, 82 win team. But
you know, baseball more than any other sport, who the heck knows?
Yeah.
Because you're going to have guys that come out of nowhere and have awesome years. You're going to have guys that underperform based off what you had thought they were going to do. And it really does come down to pitching and timely hitting. You know, like, it's almost like when you simplify football down to blocking and tackling. Like a baseball, if you get good starting pitching and you get timely hitting, you're going to win a fair share of ball games.
Sure. And I've said on the show a few times, I didn't understand why they didn't go after or make at least a tougher push for Lance Lynn. I get it now. I'll admit
boy,
I was wrong. Because, I mean,
they have got so many young arms.
Holy cow. Jack Flaherty is ready, by the way. He's just waiting on somebody to falter in the major league rotation because there's nothing else he can prove at the AAA level with the start that he's at. You're also going to have Alex Reyes by the end of May. Or we'll probably put it in June because he's got to make some rehab starts, too, to technically get back to major league shape. So those are two pitchers right there that could replace a couple of pitchers in the starting rotation. I mean, I get now why they signed Mike Liss for a short-term deal instead of going after Lynn.
And in some ways, it's easy to forget about Alex Reyes and how dominant this guy can be when he's healthy. Missed all of last year with the Tommy John, but if you remember, he was one of the hardest throwers in all of baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. And essentially what's going to be interesting is Flaherty and Reyes are potentially both going to make the other five guys in the current rotation better because they're going to have to compete for their jobs, essentially. Outside of Carlos Martinez, everyone else, well, and I would say Luke Weaver's probably safe too, but outside of Martinez and Weaver, Waka, Wainwright, and Michaelis are going to have to fight for their roles in the starting rotation, I think.
Well, if we just look to 2019, you're looking at a rotation most likely that consists of Carlos Martinez, Luke Weaver, Alex Reyes, and Jack Flaherty.
Yeah.
Talk about four premier young arms.
How about that? Luke Weaver might be your number four, just based on stuff.
That's pretty good number four.
Yeah.
No, they drafted their pitching. We've heard about all this young pitching for a number of years, and
they got it.
It's here now.
It's here.
It's big league ready.
That's the thing about their farm system. Like, they've got a lot of young guys, prospects, who are basically, if not major league ready, right there. I mean, a bulk of their farm system is ready to make the jump.
They got a bunch of elite pitchers and a bunch of really good outfielders. In between, a little spotty perhaps.
That's right.
Hey,
who needs shortstops and third basemen?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Because that's where they're lacking.
Hey, it's all about pitching, pitching, pitching. And the Cardinals have power young arms on the way. The future is bright. 12:20 today, Cards and Reds from Bush, live on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Hey, we want to thank Bill Kinney for coming in and talking about the Hillsboro-Greenville alumni football game. Thank you very much to Darren Deneve for joining us this morning to talk about the Wise State Championship that Carlinville brought home. And, of course, their other coaches, Lisa Kelly, Charlie Taylor, and Jason Crowell. Congratulations on the state championship in Wise. Sports Saturday is done. For David, I am Tim on WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great weekend, everybody.